You are listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus said, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to be revealed. Come to me, all you that are weary and are taking and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. So good 4th of July? Yeah. Did you enjoy it? Yeah, me too. My neighbors, they do a fireworks show that is hard to comprehend. I mean, they must spend thousands of dollars. He had 5 boxes about this big, cardboard boxes this big of fireworks. And they invite the whole neighborhood and we all sit there and it goes off. And it lasted about 45 minutes. That's like how many fireworks we watched that night. It was amazing. It's so much fun and lots of kids running around and sparklers and glow sticks. And it was a great time. I love, 4th of July has always been sort of like one of those holidays. I'm sort of like, it's fine. You know, it's fine. It's fun. But there's something about appreciating the U.S. Some of you know I lived in Germany for a year, and there's something about coming back from living in a foreign country that you kind of go, oh, that's right, you know, that there's some great things about our country that I sort of forget. Like, in Germany, they're not really into customer service. I don't know if you know this, but that's like not really their deal. Like, you might sit at your table for 20 minutes before you see a server come to your table. You know what I mean? They're just not. And so like when I got off the plane and somebody was like, "Hi, how are you?" I was like, I'm home, glory, hallelujah. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. And there's so much that you're really thankful for. But the other side of living in another country is that you also see things where you're like, well, actually they do stuff better there than they do here in the U.S. Like, I remember getting off the plane and wanting to go get coffee. Now, in Germany, I'm not exaggerating, this is not hyperbole, their gas station coffee is better than all the coffee in the United States of America. I mean, it just is. So I got off and I went to Starbucks, like the premium coffee, right? And I get the coffee and I take a drink, I'm like, spit take, this is terrible. You know what I mean? Because I was so used to having such good coffee. I don't know why it's hard to drink good coffee. If you want to have a coffee that tastes like a German cappuccino, the only place I know to is you have to go to Corvus and get their cappuccino. It's like creamy, frothy, light on top, and it's gently, it's beautiful. It's the cappuccino they make at Starbucks, it's just like, here you go, and that's not a cappuccino. Who knows what that thing is? It's something. And, you know, so it's when you think about that, then you spend some more time thinking about the ways in which the ideal that we have here in the United States, that how we want to grow into that, how we want to become that, how we want to get better. We want to improve. We want to grow. We want to become. We want to be the kind of country that we think we can be in our mind's eye. It's all about growth and life and trying to become more and more about what we say we want to be. It's that way inside me too. that I know that I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to get better. I want to continue to become what I really feel like I'm called to be. In fact, my whole time that I spent in Germany, I wasn't working. I was a stay-at-home dad. I homeschooled the kids. I was the cabana boy. When mom came home, I'd be there with her glass of wine saying, "Hello, honey, what would you like to eat today? We are going to have a delicious meal." You know, like, that was my job for the year. I worked out twice a day because I was bored, you know, because there's just nothing else to do. But on all of that working out, all of that running that I did especially, I was listening to podcasts and books. And a lot of it was self-improvement and self-help and learning about meditation and growth and financial management and running a business. And I was just soaking all of these things in. And you know, you'd think that I would just be like, by the end of that year, I'd be like, I have achieved it. I have achieved it. I am now self-actualized. But really, I found that at the end of the year, I was maybe like a baby step better than when I started. Do you know what I mean? All of that work, all of that effort, all of that desire for growth, I do feel like I'm moving in that direction, but I really just took a baby step. See, there's this sense of wanting to grow, wanting to become better, wanting to be more and more who we are, but there's like a battle inside us sometimes that we're struggling against all the time. I love Paul's letter today. It is so vulnerable. It is so vulnerable. Beautiful thing. He's sitting there saying, look, you know, the very thing that I want to do, I end up not doing. And the very thing I don't want to do, I do. He says, it's like I know inside me. He says, I cherish the law. I cherish what we're supposed to do. I hold it in my innermost self. I want to do that thing so bad. And then I don't. And then I turn away, and then I find an excuse, and then I get busy, and then I do the other thing. And no matter what I do, I'm always trying to find my way forward. But yet, there's like some law at work inside me. It's almost like two voices inside me. Two voices, one that says, here's what it looks like to live a life of joy and grace and hope, to be the heart, hands, and feet of Jesus, to live into the vision that we have for it. And then there's this other voice saying, you should probably sleep in. You're tired. You worked hard yesterday. Or a voice that says, no, you know, maybe help them out next time. Or, yeah, I know that's a good idea, but your kids have soccer. And so let's do that instead. And there's always these two voices. And it's like they're at war with each other all the time. See, I love self-improvement. I still listen to a lot of podcasts. I still do a lot of books. Right now, I'm reading this one book called Outlive. Has anybody heard this book? Anyone? Oh, you need to read it. It's really fascinating. It's all about longevity and life and quality of life and stuff. It's really a great book. And so I still do these things, but I'm also realizing that to think that like I'm going to start here and I'm going to end at a point where I'm like, Nirvana, I did it. Well, it's a false hope. I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to achieve perfection. I'm never going to get to the sense of where I feel grounded and perfect. My life, my prayer life, my meditative life, my financial life, my physical life, there's always going to be something. And I'm always going to be wrestling with that. Are you with me? See, there's this little word that we use a lot in church, that a lot of circles that I run in. And it's a little word, but it's a dangerous word. It's a word that can really get us in trouble. And the word is enough. Enough. Where we think that like, well, if I just pray enough, if I just serve enough, if I give enough, if I help enough, if I worship enough, if I read enough, if I go to enough studies, if I do enough, then I will finally feel at peace. But what happens? Every time. That enough just keeps moving, doesn't it? And just keeps moving. We do it with our kids all the time. If we just give them enough to do, if we help them enough, if we show them enough things, if we give them and get them into enough programs, if we get them into enough sports, if we do this enough, and it just keeps moving. When all we really want is a happy kid, right? It's all we want is a happy kid. That word enough is so dangerous, and I hear it a lot, especially with my young adults, where there's a lot of this kind of fear of wanting to grow and wanting to be like, well, if I just believe enough, then it'll get better. If I just pray enough, then it'll get better. If I do enough stuff for my neighbor, it'll get better. If I just enough, enough, enough. But that movement target just, it ends up hurting them, because in the end, they're like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm working all the time, and I don't feel like I'm any more peaceful than when I started. It's like spending a year working out twice a day and finding you're only one baby step ahead. That enough is dangerous. It's dangerous. I spent some time with a young adult this week. We had coffee together, and she's just grieving. She's just grieving. She's like, I can't get out of my head that I think I'm going to hell. Now, we can go on and on about hell and what it is and where it is and does it exist and do we understand it the right way and what does it mean and da-da-da-da-da-da. But the whole point is that she never has peace, because she'll be like, as soon as I feel like, ah, I'm okay now, then in her head she'll go, but what if I hurt somebody tomorrow? Well, it's gone. Even her thoughts betray her. Even her thoughts, she ends up just feeling so that her whole life is lived out of fear now. She's afraid all the time. What do we do with this? How do we live with that enough? Here's what I would want to suggest. Let's take that word enough and let's reframe it. And let's have the subject of that verb no longer us, but let's put God the subject of that verb. You see, I think really the gift of Jesus is that Jesus says, you are enough. You see, we take what little we have, we take who we are, we take what little we can offer, and Jesus says, that's enough. Jesus takes whatever little prayer, even if it's like, oh my God! And Jesus says, that's enough. That's enough. If we put even just our two coins in, Jesus says, that's enough. If we just smile and wave, Jesus says, that's enough. Jesus takes what little that we have, what little we can give, what little we can do, and Jesus says, you give it to me and let me make it enough. Stop you trying to occupy and take the place of Jesus. If it's up to us and about what we do, then Jesus didn't need to die on a cross, because we're the ones who become the architect of our own salvation, because it's about what we do that becomes enough. The whole point of Jesus is like, you can't do it. You cannot do it. That was the whole point that Paul was making. No matter what I do, I'm going to mess it up. I try to do the right thing, but I can't do it. And the thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. And at the end, he has this wail. He says, wretched man who I am. Where is my hope? Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who takes what little we offer and makes it enough. That we don't have to be in a space where we're trying to perform. I call it performative Christianity, where we're like trying to perform for Jesus to make Jesus happy with us. Jesus is happy with you. Jesus loves you. Jesus adores you. Jesus cares for you. And whatever we little offer with Jesus, Jesus says, oh, that's enough. There's this great story. I was in Vienna with my friend Matt, who's way smarter than I was. He was the guitarist in my band. Went to the Dominican Institute in Washington, D.C. He's now a dean of some school in Slovakia, blah, blah, blah. And we're in St. Stephen's Cathedral, giant church in cathedral, third largest cathedral in the world. And we're sitting in the pew, and it's like, oh, and there's like all of these, you know, the things and the art and the carvings and the windows and the altar and the thing, the cherubim and the seraphim and the fire and the lightning and they're in there. And I turn over to Matt and I say, Matt, what do you think God thinks of all of this? Matt thinks for a second and says, well, I think God thinks of it as like putting a crayon drawing on the refrigerator and going, oh, that's cute. I mean, here we build this big thing saying, is this enough, God? And God's like, oh, it's so sweet of you. Did you build that for me? Oh, it's so cute. That's a really big church you built. That's a really big church. I did the Himalayas, but that's a big church you made there. Isn't that sweet? Oh, and is that stained glass window? That's gorgeous. I made the Pleiades, but your stained glass window is just lovely. we have this sense that if we do this, if we can accomplish this giant church, finally we'll be even and we'll have done enough. And God's like, oh, it's just one more sweet, kind gesture that says you love me, and that's enough. Jesus says, come to me, come to me. You who are carrying these heavy burdens, this heavy load of doing and performing and trying and working so that we can be enough, come to me with that heavy load and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. In our family, we literally do this sometimes. When we're feeling overwhelmed, when we feel like we've had too much, we'll literally like, come to me, Jesus says, and we give rest. He says, learn from me. Learn from me. Take my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble at heart. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How do we turn it into so much work? How do we turn it into so much effort? Why did we turn the sweet story of Jesus dying and rising for you, not because you deserve it, but because Jesus simply loves you, and turn it into this giant performative exercise? I just want you to know, today, whatever burdens you're carrying and whatever things you're weighing you down, I ask you just to set them down. Set them down. Put them down and let Jesus take that and say, this is enough. It's enough. It's enough. You've done enough. You've loved enough. You've cared enough. It's enough. We're okay. And know that you are enough. That you are everything God has ever wanted in this universe, that you are everything that God desires and loves from this place, that you are enough. That you don't have to try to be the heart, hands, and feet of Jesus. You already are. Now, go into the world and let them know that they are enough as well. For we all need to hear, we all need to see that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In the name of love, whose name is Jesus. Amen.